As you know, in the book of Philippians, Paul's writing a thank you note. He writes this to the believers in Philippi because they have helped him in his time of need. They have held him up during this time, and he uses the occasion to send along some instructions on Christian unity. And in this letter to them, he speaks about that only in Christ are real unity and joy possible. And so as we've looked at chapter number one, he gives a greeting to the Philippian Christians. He gives comments on thankfulness and prayer. And then he speaks about Christ as preached, and he speaks about to live as Christ and the importance of that. For me to live as Christ, he says, and to die is gain. And then he speaks about striving and suffering for Christ. When we came to chapter 2, he speaks about unity through humility. And humility is certainly one of the qualities that is so important. I believe that the Lord expects each of his children to walk with an honesty and truth, integrity, and in humility. And then he speaks about how the humbled are exalted in Christ. He speaks about that we are light bearers in this world. And then he has a little section where he commended Timothy. And then he speaks about Epaphroditus, one of those people in the church at Philippi that helped him tremendously during a time of need. And then in chapter 3, he speaks about doing everything all for Christ. He speaks about pressing toward the goal. And then he speaks about our citizenship is not in this world, but our citizenship is in heaven. Last Sunday evening, as we looked at chapter 4, he speaks about being united and joyful in prayer. And this past Wednesday night, we looked at how he admonished two of the women in the church there, Euodias and Syntyche. Euodia and Syntyche, that they had some kind of problem between them. He spoke to them about how they should live and act and ask the church to gather around them. He speaks about rejoicing in the Lord always. He said, and again, I say rejoice. And then in verse 7 for tonight, as we pick up there, he says, and the peace of God, the peace of God. Let me tell you, the peace of God tonight is the thing that keeps you and me going in the world. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to capitalize for just a few moments there on that verse 7, and the peace of God. Tonight I would ask each of us a question. What does the phrase, the peace of God, mean to you right now in your life? What does the peace of God mean to you in a very confused world? What does the peace of God mean tonight in hospitals all over America, all over the world, where people that do know the Lord Jesus Christ, what does the peace of God mean to them? In the prison systems all over America and all over the world, for those that have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, what does the peace of God mean to them as they are incarcerated behind bars? You see, when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, he was in a prison. He realized what it was to be somewhat isolated from a world that he had been challenged to go in and share with the Gentile nation about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he comes to verse 7 and he says, and the peace of God. Let me tell you tonight, we sing a little song. The world didn't give it to us, and the world can't take it away. Well, I want you to know tonight, there's a peace that surpasses all human understanding tonight. It's only a peace that can be known by a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of these challenging days, these unprecedented days that you and I are living in, were it not for the peace of God that we have because of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we might find ourselves totally in a situation where we feel totally isolated. As Keith so ably put the song a few moments ago, or as Gordon Mote wrote that, hold me up. Let me tell you, it's the peace of God tonight, I believe, that holds each one of us up. I believe it's God's peace tonight that gives us courage to brave the days ahead of us, whatever they may be, wherever they may be, however dark the times may grow. Let me tell you, Jesus is still Jesus. Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still King of Kings. Jesus is still omnipotent. He's still all-powerful. Jesus is still omniscient. He's still all-knowing. Jesus is still omnipresent. He is everywhere. There's nowhere we can go that He is not. Jesus is holy. Jesus is righteous. Tonight, I don't know about you, but that gives great peace to my heart because I know that He is the winner. I know that if we are in Him, we're on the winning team. I know that in Him, there is a peace that this world needs. I know that this world tonight, more than anything else, needs this peace that Paul addresses here with the Philippian Christians. And the peace, notice he says, of God. He didn't say the world because the world doesn't have any peace tonight. Let me tell you, the world is looking for peace. But yet the world is so blinded by the God of this age, Satan and all of his emissaries. The world is so blinded tonight that the world cannot see the peace of God that passes all human understanding. The world is floundering out there in a sea of despond tonight. But let me tell you, in Christ, there is peace. In Christ, there is joy. And that's why the Apostle Paul, sitting in a prison cell, could be joyful and rejoice even in the midst of his circumstance. He had learned in whatever state he found himself therewith to be content. And his contentment came not from the happenstances around him. His contentment came because of the peace of God that ruled his heart and the peace of God that reigned in his heart. He wanted to remind the Philippian Christians about the importance of this peace. We sing a song. Many people sing the song, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin in me." Let me tell you, when the Prince of Peace first came to this world, let me tell you, the world looked around and the world rejected him. But one of these days, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come back to this earth, and there will be peace that will rule and reign. Paul said, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." You know, there's a lot of things tonight that you and I will never be able to understand. You know, I don't know about you, but in visiting with people, in counseling with people, going through all kinds of crisis, going through all kinds of situations in their life, and as you sit and as you listen and as you are praying internally, "Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh and anew on me and help me to be able to see beyond this crisis situation. Fill me with wisdom that surpasses the understanding of this world." You know, sometimes we feel that we've always got to give an answer to every question that people have. But there are many times we flounder out there trying to give an answer when the best thing to do oftentimes is just to pause, reflect, listen to the Spirit of Almighty God. Paul said, "In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts." Now, he spoke about the heart here, and he speaks about the mind and the importance of this. He says, "And the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds." This peace of God is what will guard your hearts and minds. Notice he said, through, where does it come from? From God, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people tonight that are searching, they're looking for answers to fill the void in their hearts and in their lives. They're looking for answers tonight to feel grief and sadness and loneliness and isolationism and heartbrokenness through all kinds of life situations. Paul understood that. Of all people, Paul understood what it was like to struggle in many of the situations he found himself in, to preach the gospel, to be thrown into prison because he was trying to preach about the Christ, and it landed him in a prison cell. But somewhere in the midst of all of that, a peace and a contentment overwhelmed his heart and his mind. He knew it was through Jesus Christ that he had that incredible peace. I think oftentimes, as you and I are sailing through this world that is filled with all kinds of stuff that would try to stop us in our tracks, I think oftentimes we fail to be still and know that he is God. We fail so often to be still and let that peace, which surpasses all human understanding. He said, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you the reason I believe many Christians are not falling off the edge of the cliff tonight is because they realize that in the world, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. But Jesus said, be not overcome because I've overcome the world. And let me tell you, tonight, I think that what each of us need to do is get a new vision of this incredible peace. He moves on down to verse 8, and he speaks about meditating on these things in a troubled world, in a perplexed society, in a culture that is teetering and tottering on the brink of despair and despond. He says, finally, brethren, he's going to give some very practical wisdom here to this church. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. I hear people say every day, pretty much in my life, as I often say myself, it's hard sometimes to know when you listen to the news or to read newspapers or to listen to different political pundits or to listen to different news stations. It's really hard sometimes to gain what is true. But I want you to know, when you lay down what's happening in the world next to the Bible, let me tell you, you can find truth. You can find truth because Jesus said, I am truth. I am truth. If it doesn't square with the Word of God, then you can generally cast it out of the window. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. In other words, Paul was saying to the church, these are some things that are important. These are some things you want to think about. These are some things you want to meditate. Whatever things are true, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me tell you, it's in the house of the Lord that I find truth. It's in the house of the Lord that I find His word. It's in the house of the Lord that I find other saints of God, other brethren who know the God of the Bible and know truth. I look out into a world where kids are growing up, and how do they know what is true? Because of a very confused and a very broken world that they live in. Little time do we have to spend with them to teach them things that are true. But folks, I want you to know there's so much garbage out there. And if we put garbage in our minds, garbage is all that our minds are going to be. Paul wanted the Philippian Christians to understand in their day, as they were struggling in a world of a Roman Empire, a Nero, that would hate Christians and eventually blame them for the fire that he created that would burn Rome. Whatever things are true, I think those are the things we ought to contemplate. I think they're the things that we ought to meditate on, we ought to think about. He goes, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. What does he mean? Whatever things are noble. I think whatever things are noble of the highest good, of the greatest cause. Let me tell you, the greatest cause to me is that Jesus Christ came and that Jesus died and that Jesus shed his blood for the satisfaction of sin. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus ascended back into heaven. Jesus is praying at the right hand of the Father tonight. He's interceding to the Father for his children. I'm grateful to know he's coming back once again. These are noble things to me. They're noble thoughts to me. I think about those things. I dwell on those things because I know that they are true. I believe them through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, whatever things are just. Let me tell you, we live in a very unjust world. We live in a world that is filled with all kinds of injustices that are done out there in the world. Paul said to the Philippian Christians, I think he's saying, if you really want to rejoice like you ought to rejoice in the Lord, if you really want to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, Paul said, think on these things. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are just. Think on the noble things that are out there. I don't know about you, but when I see the injustices in the world that I live in, it not only grieves my heart and saddens my heart, but it makes my heart angry at those who commit such great injustices in the world that you and I live in. Whatever things are pure. Pure things I mentioned a few moments ago. If we take garbage in, then garbage is all that our minds will dwell on. He says, whatever things are pure. Let me tell you, holy things. Holy things. How do we have a pure mind when there is so much out there in the world to distract us, to help deteriorate our Christian walk with the Lord? I think that if we do not dwell upon the pure things, the holy things of God, I think we become quick fodder for Satan to fill our minds with all of the gutterable things that are out there in the world. Paul said, whatever things are pure, Do you ever just stop to think about how pure, how holy, how righteous, how just, how godly that Christ wants us to be, that he wants us to exemplify as we are light bearers in a very darkened room of this world? He says, whatever things are lovely. What are things that are lovely to you and me? I don't know anything any more lovely than for somebody to give their heart and life to Jesus to you. When somebody walks an aisle in a church and reaches out through faith and calls on the name of the Lord and genuinely and sincerely meets that wooing of the Holy Spirit that brings them to a place of convicting sin and leads them into a place of conversion. I don't know anything any more lovely than that. I don't know anything more lovely than a little child who comes in humility and childlike faith. The innocency that they have. Unfortunately, they are growing up in a world that is taking their innocence at every turn of the road. I can't think of anything more lovely than to think about senior saints as they're coming to the end of life, as they are thinking that so much of life is behind them and they're nearer home to heaven than they were yesterday. I've sat with many of them down through the years. I've heard their testimonials given about how they were saved, who led them to the Lord, and to listen to the great testimonies of some of those unsung heroes that are out there. When I think about things that are lovely, I think about a beautiful spring day when the birds are chirping and the flowers are blooming and the trees are budding and resurrection from winter has started all over again in the springtime. When I look into the night skies and I see the twinkling of the stars and I'm reminded of the loveliness of the sovereign Savior who loved me and gave himself for me. I think about all of the creation and I think about what a beautiful world that God made and then man has so badly messed it up in so many ways. I think about the loveliness of what heaven is going to be like one of these days. I'm thinking about all of the blessedness of standing in the presence of the King. To hear that angelic choir of heaven filled with all of the melodious sounds of the Hallelujah chorus. The resoundingness of Jesus saying, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. To think, to meditate on those things that are lovely, whatever those things may be, maybe to look at a piece of art, maybe to look at a constructed object that some engineer has engineered and to see all the different facades of a great edifice out there, some great structure, to look at the great cathedrals of Europe that were once filled with people and to realize they are living in a post-Christian era, to look at churches all over America, to think about houses of worship that were once filled and brimming over with people. You see, to take those minute vacations and to dwell on these things, to meditate on these things. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. He's speaking about things that are of a good reputation. all of those things that are out there now in the world that we live in. Everybody loves all the sordid details of everything. And so we live in a world that if we are going to see a lovely world, then we're going to have to look beyond what we oftentimes see in the world that we're in, and to penetrate the darkness of this world to see the loveliness of the light of Christ, and to see that we are salt, that we are the preservative in the world that we live in. Paul speaks to this church on the importance of them meditating on these type of things. He says, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. To meditate. What does it mean to meditate? To think, to ponder, to ingest the things of God, and then to savor those moments with Him. I'm confident of the fact tonight that if each one of us gave a testimonial, I'm sure that each one of us would say, some of the most blessed moments that I have in all of my life when I and God are alone together. Someone wrote a song called "My God and I Walk Through the Fields Together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do." I don't know about you, but sometimes those moments of life, those are some of the most blessed, because in that time we're meditating upon these things that Paul says here to the church. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, there's so much for us to be praiseworthy about tonight. Amen. Meditate, think, ponder. Let it saturate your mind. He says, meditate on these things. And then in verse 9, he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw. Notice all of those verbs that he used. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. Now, Paul wasn't bragging here. This wasn't a boastful there wasn't a boastful bone in his body as he's sitting in a dark, damp prison cell. Little privacy, if any. Chained, locked away. If you can only get that picture in your mind. And he says to the Philippians, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. Tonight, I would ask you and me this question. Does the world that we encounter, does the world that I come in contact with every day of my life, when I meet people, the things, do they learn? Do they receive? Do they hear? Do they see in me what Christ would have them see? Paul says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Paul wanted the Philippian church to know how vitally it was important in his life that they take the things they had learned through his teaching and through his exhortation and through his thanksgiving and praise. Paul wanted them to take those things and to let them be a part of their lives as they reached out into their fallen world that they too were a part of. May God's peace be with each of us. And as we go out into the highways and the hedges of life, may others see Jesus living in us. The songwriter put it so ably, your life is a book before men's eyes. They read you through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you? Would you stand as we pray together? Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these wonderful words from the book of Philippians. Oh God, that mirror to us the wonderful joy that Paul wanted each of us to have and to rejoice in our everyday lives and to meditate and to think on things that are noble, things that are of good report, things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are right, things that are true. God, I pray you would help us, that we would grow, that we would mature in our Christian lives, that we would be all that you would have us to be. Forgive us where we fall so short. God, we realize that we walk in human fleshly bodies that have not been glorified yet, but someday they will be. So help us, God, as we walk, to watch where we step so that we might not be a stumbling block to the passerby who looks at our lives and determines whether or not they see the light and the love of Christ. Father, take us safely to our homes this evening and be with all of our church family, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.